It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Welcome to Visit Moffitt County. This program is a public service opportunity provided by Blizzard Broadcasting. We're grateful for this time for Northwest Colorado citizens to get up to date on what's happening in Moffitt County. You know, when I was a kid cruising up and down Victory, I used to listen to KRA all the time, and I was always had a fun time listening to the DJ at the time. He said that KRAI, 100 watts, that sounds like a million. So I think today we got 5,000 watts that also sounds like a million. I'll be serving as your host today. My name is Tom Kleinschnitz. I'm currently serve the people of Moffitt County as the tourism director. I also serve the people of Craig, Colorado as a city councilor. I've in my past, I'm a retired river guide. I've had worked a concession up in Dinosaur National Monument for many years, many decades. I started my rafting career in Craig, Colorado. So I'm very much a Moffitt County advocate. Today I'm going to be joined by Tony St. John, another certainly Moffitt County advocate, Mayor Ryan Hess, the mayor of City of Craig, and the mayor of Dinosaur, Colorado, Mayor Richard Blakely. So we have a great setup today and some great guys coming to meet us. Mayor Hess, you're on the line.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, Mayor, you're great to hear from you. I think this opportunity would be a good thing for all of us to check in with what's happening with the city, your leadership, and how we get go forward. I think the first thing that a lot of people across the county may not know you as well as we do in Craig. Could you tell us about your career path and how you became and what led you to be run for mayor?
Yeah, my main career, what I've done most of my life, was in emergency services. I started out at 17 as an explorer with the local fire department. By the time I was 18, I started working for Craig Police Department as a code enforcement or community service officer. I went on to be a firefighter in Palisade briefly while I was working my bachelor's degree down in Grand Junction. In 2004, I completed the police academy. 2005, I came back up in this area, was a reserve deputy with Moffitt County. Those summers, I spent working at the Yampa River as a park ranger. And then in 2006, I started my full-time law enforcement career, first in the town of Rangeley. I was there for about 3 months, and then I came back up here as a full-time deputy with Moffitt County Sheriff's Office. I briefly left the Sheriff's Office and went to the Colorado State Patrol for a bit, and then I came back. About the same time I transitioned away from Colorado State Patrol, I was appointed for a vacancy in the City Council. Prior to that, I had served on Grand Futures Board. I'd served on an educational board for an organization known as COMA, and I'd been kind of in the background playing in a lot of nonprofits and assisting with a lot of drug and alcohol awareness. I was a DARE officer for a number of years, and that was my main role in the community, is I would do community education relative to, you know, drug and drug abuse in the community.
Well, quite a transition, you know, a law enforcement background that's impeccable. I think as you step into your role as mayor, I think as a fellow city councilman, I found that you're really tuned into what ordinances mean, what the ramifications they mean in the legal world. So I think obviously you had a big transition this last summer. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So my educational background is kind of weird. I have a bachelor's in sociology with a concentration in criminology, and then I have a master's degree in psychology, which has a concentration in justice studies. After I get done with my master's degree, I said I swore I'd never go back to school. I started looking at PhD programs, and then I decided out of the blue to go to law school. I had no desire to be an attorney. At the time, the type of law school that I was going to, Colorado, would never have allowed me to set for the bar exam. So if I did want to become an attorney, I was isolated to setting for the bar in California. So in 2015, I decided to go to law school. As I was going through law school, the rules in Colorado changed there was a exception where you could petition the Supreme Court, and they found reasonable grounds. They would allow you to set for the bar exam if you didn't go to an American Bar Associated accredited school. So I graduated in 2020 from Purdue Global Concord Law. I set for the California bar exam in 21 in the kind of the end of COVID. So I got to do it virtually from Colorado, passed the California bar. I was one of the 25% of people that passed that year. It's a very brutal bar exam. It's the hardest one in the nation.
Wow.
And then starting soon after that, I began petitioning or working on a petition to have Colorado allow me to set for the Colorado bar. They awarded me a petition, and then last July, I set for the Colorado bar. I got my results in October. I became licensed in September, and then December of last year, I transitioned out of law enforcement and went into private practice as an attorney.
Well,
so
that's
kind of my...
That's a quite a story, and I think it just is an impeccable one. And we all, as the citizens of Craig, wish you well with that private practice. I'm sure it's probably pretty busy already.
It is, and I think the online education point is one of the things that in my petition for the Supreme Court, In some licensing, specifically in getting a law license, there is a strong prejudice towards not being in a brick-and-mortar school. And with Craig going through a transition, I think it's very interesting and very cool that if you wanted to right now, you don't have to quit your job and move to... My options in going to law school was I could go spend almost $250,000 and do a hybrid class where I would do partially online, but then I would travel almost every 3 months and then spend a month in a different state going to brick and mortar school, which my work schedule and my budget doesn't allow me to do that. But a lot of people can take the time out of their day to find, you know, an extra 20 or 30 hours of time to do online schooling and still work. So if you're someone who's working at the power plant or a coal mine and you're looking at what career do I go to next? Online school allows you to go get the educational component while you have the income to do it, get particular licenses, and then potentially find a job at the end of it in a different profession or a different realm that you can still support yourself. And I think more and more as our society becomes understanding that online school is not much different from brick and mortar. It's just you don't go to a building every day. That allows opportunities for more and more people, the more open online schooling becomes, especially within professional licensing.
Well, certainly that's timely advice and something I think a lot of us need to, you know, just spread through the community. Those opportunities are out there. Let's transition into talking about some of the things happening at the city. I know that many of the public addresses that you've done over the last couple of years, certainly housing is the thing that people talk about. Can you tell us some of the things that the city is leaning into to make affordable housing or workforce housing possible?
Yeah, when we look at the housing landscape, I don't know that anybody, probably 2015 to 2018, would look at Craig and go, you know, in 5 to 6 years, we're going to have a housing crisis. And a lot of things happened that nobody could predict. COVID caused people to go remote. It caused people who were in markets where the housing values escalated, where they could cash out, move to different areas, and they didn't have to go to work every day, so they could work remotely from rural communities versus having to be in the larger metropolitan areas. That caused this outflow into these outlying communities. We know that we've lost over 200 jobs related to from the power plant and coal production, yet we don't have any housing on the market. Right now, if you were to look for a house to try to find housing in Craig, it'd be very difficult to find either a rental or a home to purchase. But the other thing going is, you know, a lot of the jobs we have where they're in the $50,000 a year range, you have people that are now looking at a mortgage that is over $2,000 a month because of the interest rate. And then you add fuel prices that are at $4 a gallon and, you know, gas, electric, and all that stuff. The cost of living is so much right now that our working class, the type of people we're trying to attract to this area, can't even afford to move to a town like Craig. And when we identified that as a problem, the city manager had been speaking with some other developers who have been looking at projects that gear towards lower cost housing. It's not low value housing. It's not low income housing. We're talking about housing where, you know, a family of four, you know, they could make almost up to $100,000 a year and still qualify for some of these housing projects that we've been talking about. The first project we were able to get off the ground, and it looks like the setting cell, was the old hospital site. I believe the city is going to invest about $7.5 million. Most of that is grant-funded towards putting in, I believe, 25 units, which will be geared towards working-class individuals. And I think it's really good to focus on there's subsidized housing where the federal government or the state pays for your housing. And then there's housing where there's caps on how much you can charge per rent relative to that person's earning capacity. And in those type of projects, we look at what's called the average or the area mean income. So we look at what's the 50% point, 50 values above and the 50% of the values below.
Right, right.
What is that for a number of people? And that's the way we're calculating these particular projects. It's not valued at, you know, do you not make income at all?
Well, yeah, certainly in my time in council, you know that I support looking at these projects pretty strongly. But can you help answer the concerns that might come from people that city government might be interfering with the housing marketplace as the city might inject this kind of project?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree if there were projects that were coming off the ground. What happens right now is a developer can go over to Hayden. And they can, the material cost for building a house in Craig or building a house in Hayden or near Steamboat, the building costs are the same per square footage. The material costs are the same. The value of that home is you can go build a house that's worth $650,000 in Hayden for the same material cost, or you can come down to Craig and build a similar house that is worth probably closer to $400,000. So from a pure business point of view, if you're a developer, you're going to go to the market that has the most money in it. And as long as that's the factor, Craig really isn't attractive for building homes right now because you kind of have this high cost in building stuff. So developers are looking for the most return of the money. And the other thing we have in Craig is go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think the point is, I think what you're driving at is that we need to introduce some building into the community. It's been very sparse for the last several years, and just to get our contractor beginning to work in our community might be a good start.
Right. If you look at the number of building permits and the number of new homes we've put on since my time in city council, I mean, we would even fill the block with houses. And a lot of that is we have to show that there's a market for homes in Craig. And I think these type of projects will set the market. What I think it'll do is it will spear those developers, the market value developers that come in and put in housing. I don't see it interfering with the market. Because if we had a 150 home subdivision that was getting thrown up and the government was going and throwing up 25 units that could potentially throw away from that development, but we don't have that. We don't even have the prospect of a developer putting up 20 homes right now.
Okay, let's move to another part that I think is important for the community to know about. You know, Tri-State has hired the Ferguson Group to help us with grant writing and possibly some lobbying for those grants. And the commissioners and the city council kind of got together and talked about priorities. Could you talk about what the city priorities that we put forward to the Ferguson Group were?
Yeah, I mean, housing, which the one we already talked about, was right. One that we put out there. One of the other ones that we came up with was education. I think the last one we came up with was transportation.
Correct, right.
Speaking to education, the school board, in all these just transition meetings and a lot of these transitional meetings we're having with potential grant funders and these pots of money that are being allocated to communities where coal production or energy production is being shut down because of regulatory effect, school districts across the board have not been well represented in those particular conversations. And property taxes is the main hit when the power plant shuts down and both the coal mines potentially shut down. You're looking at a 50% hit on property tax. So the county and the entities that are property tax based will lose a ton of money. So when we had those discussions, you know, city council, we talked about education, both higher education from the sense of CNCC and, you know, the K through 12 was something we needed to get some money to. They have some delayed capital projects that are significant. The school district out of all the local government entities is probably the one that's hurting the most. And they haven't benefited from some of the stuff like the city and the county have. They haven't gotten, congressional directed spending like both of the entities have. They haven't gotten just transition dollars like both of us have. So they're hurting for money, and they're not necessarily having a ability to speak at the table. Transportation, I think that was one that you brought up, Tom, was that we need to better figure out ways to move both people and goods and everything in Northwest Colorado, specifically around the Craig area.
Absolutely. I really think transportation is something we need to focus on to grow our community, and I think there'll be a lot of challenges going forward with that. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about today, but we're going to probably have to move to our next guest. But to kind of finish up, what are your personal priorities as we look at what your thoughts are as we go through the summer and into the fall for what Craig City Council should be doing?
I mean, I think the first thing, we're going into budget season. We had our budget from last year was well. I mean, we ended up rolling forward and starting with a general fund balance that's good. It's a healthy general fund starting point. You know, as we go into the summer, we're going to be talking about budget and looking forward. I have some great concerns on what 2024 looks like. I mean, we have some banks that are closed, that are having bank runs happening. We're having some indications from my personal beliefs that indicate you might want to have some money in setting aside because things could get bad. I think COVID likely should have caused some worse economic effect than it did, and I think we're delaying. We kind of kicked that can down the road, and I think one of these years we're due for a near 2008 realization of a correction in economics. If that correction happens, local government is going to get hit pretty hard because people are going to pull back on their spending, and you're going to see those tax numbers go down. So I think going into budget season this year, we're going to have to project both for losing, you know, potential jobs by 2030, but we also, I think, have to gear up for what the economy might look like in 2024. I mean, that's a big thing going into this summer is how do you project those type of things into the 2024 budget. And budgeting the last 3 years, I don't think it hasn't been that easy. The cost of goods, everything is such a moving point that it's very difficult right now to come up with a comprehensive budget that is useful. And that's, you know, local government, that's one of the things you budget the year prior to the money you spend it. You're not doing it quarter to quarter. So you're always 12 months behind in revenue, looking 12 months forward with expenditures. And that's kind of a difficult thing to do.
Absolutely. So I absolutely appreciate your time today. I think we have a lot of challenges in front of us, but I think there's a lot of opportunities. And I appreciate your leadership at the city. And I hope you'll join this program again to do future updates.
Yeah, anytime, Tom. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Have a great one. That was Mayor Ryan Hess that just joined us, mayor of the city of Craig, Colorado, with some good insights about the challenges and opportunities in front of us for the next year in the city of Craig. We'll be back with Mayor Richard Blakely from Dinosaur, Colorado.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffitt County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Brandon Kolb, current owner at New You Wellness, formerly Life Essentials Day Spa. We will still be offering the old spa services as well as adding microcurrent, stem cells, ozone, Dr. Fegley, and some diagnostic scans.
Hi, I'm retired Coach Aragon. So I had injured my left arm a little bit, and I had this tingling feeling in my fingers, and things weren't working. And he got in there with these probes and worked on it, and my hand, this is the best it's felt in 3 years. I'm really impressed with what he's done for me. Yeah, I've never heard about it, and if he wouldn't have called me in and did this, I probably still wouldn't have heard of it. But all of a sudden now I'm seeing a lot more people in Steamboat that are coming in and saying, wow, this thing works. You know, I called Brandon. I said, you're not going to believe this, and he just started laughing, and wow, I just called to thank him.
Find out more about New You Wellness at New You, that's N-U-Y-U, wellness.net. That's N-U-Y-U, wellness.net.
Derby Day is back. Join the Yampa Valley Medical Center Foundation on May 6th to celebrate Derby Day with an afternoon of heavy appetizers, drinks, and chances to win great prizes from local sponsors. This year's event, presented by Mountain Valley Bank, will be held at Timber and Torch, and proceeds will directly benefit the CT scanner campaign at the YVMC Foundation. Thank you to our clubhouse sponsors, Alpine Insurance Brokers, and Central Park Management, for helping us keep healthcare close to home. Visit our website, yvmcf.org, today to purchase your tickets. Brought to you in part by KTYV Sports on FM. See you there.
Hi, Jason Bongiorno here for Doc's Auto Clinic. Warm weather will be here soon. So will those spring and summer trips. Don't be stranded on the road. Get into Doc's now and get your oil changed and a complete inspection to find those hidden issues. We'll point out any problems and give you a prescription to get your car in tip-top shape. Honest advice, fair pricing, and the best mechanics in town. And again, thank you for your continued support. Doc's Auto Clinic, where we truly appreciate your business. Call us today at 970-871-1346 or book online at Doc's Auto Clinic.
Think MJK Ace Hardware and Craig only carries lumber, paint, and ranch supplies? Think again. They have a huge home decor department full of items you won't find anywhere else. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings. You'll find the perfect gift. Diningware sets, wine glasses, kitchen gadgets, decorative vases, and small appliances. They have all that and more. You've got to stop by. MJK Ace Hardware, just off of First Street in Craig. Your lumber, paint, home decor, and everything. Think More Store.
We're the Wild West, where brands are known, champions are grown, and a handshake still means something. So come join the brand, the Victory Motors brand. Family, pride, legacy. Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. Come join the winning brand at Victory Motors of Craig. Come see us on the southwest side of town or visit us online at victorymotorsofcraig.com.
Hi, this is Becca Knowles with Yampa Valley Bank. In today's world, it is important to take a few extra steps to make sure you are protecting yourself and your information. Use unique and strong passwords for all of your logins and never share that information with anyone. Watch out for phishing attempts by fraudsters who try to gain access to your computer via a link in an email or by asking for sensitive information over the phone. Be fraud aware and be careful out there. This has been a fraud tip from Yampa Valley Bank. Locally owned, community invested, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Hey everyone, Tucker
and Kelly
with Way Out West Trading Company here again to let you know that rain or shine, we've got all the Western brands and accessories you're looking for. We've got Cinch, Stetson, Roper, Kimes Ranch, Top Hand, Macy Bean, Twisted X, Ten Hall, and so much more. So remember, if you're in the market for anything Western, we've got you covered.
Way Out West Trading Company, your source for Western apparel and accessories, located at 1695 West Victory Way in Craig, Colorado.
It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Okay, today we are having a conversation with Mayor Richard Blakely from the town of Dinosaur. Mayor Blakely, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I don't think everybody across the county knows you as well as I do. I've sure enjoyed stopping in and having great conversations with you, but tell us about yourself and how you became mayor of Dinosaur.
Well, I've been mayor off and on since 1996, and I just thought our town could move on and get better, and we've been working towards that, but it's been an uphill battle all the way, but we are making gains on it and working hard at it now that we have a town manager, too. which apologizes for he couldn't be here. So,
well, that's, you know, yeah. I think we got the star of the show here, Mayor Blakely. That's how it goes. That's, you know, we'll be sure and catch town manager next time we put the show together.
Right.
I wanted to tell you that, you know, as in the tourism office, we offer several publications that we put out to potential visitors. You know, we have a Sam Wash brochure. We put out the Dinosaur National Monument information, Browns Park, Black Mountain, all that kind of stuff. But almost with every request, people say that they want the Town of Dinosaur brochure. So I think that's wonderful. What do you think about that?
Ever since that we've come out with it, I've been very impressed. And I agree with you. It's been in demand for forever since it's been being published.
I would say to you is probably that it has a wonderful name. You know, I know the name changed from Artesia at one point, but it's the Town of Dinosaur is intriguing on its own, and we seem to have a lot of automatic interest, which I think you can appreciate.
Exactly.
You know, I understand that a lodging property there in Dinosaur recently changed hands. Is that perceived as a good thing, and is that going to make some big changes there in your town?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it is. They're going to open, I believe it's eight of a casitas, they call them, individual rooms. It'll be like little kitchenettes, and they're completely revamping everything in them, and should have them up and going. I hope in this summer is what their plan is. So that'll up our room capacity to at least 8-10 more rooms, which is a big boost for our little town.
It sounds like a great addition. You know,
and then they bought the what used to be the Terrace Motel, and they're going to remodel and enlarge that, is my understanding, too.
Well, I think those are the kinds of amenities the town needs, certainly. Manager Ellerton, when we were talking a couple days ago, said that an entire city block has recently been put up for sale in Dinosaur. Do you see that as an opportunity
right.
for someone that may be able to come in and add some additional housing? Or what do you see that city block opportunity like?
I think it's a great opportunity, and I think that we're going to look at affordable housing maybe for that area to help out with it, to get things up and going.
Well, your city manager tells me that there's just absolutely nothing on the market, nothing for rent there. It's just the housing situation
Exactly. Just
all over the state of Colorado, but in your town is stressed to the brink.
That's exactly right. We've pretty much run out of rentals and places for sale.
Great. Well, he also had mentioned in passing in the last few years, you know, propane is the main heating source for most Dinosaur residents. How is there any progress on bringing natural gas into the community?
Well, as we speak, we're working on a new study on it, feasibility that should be complete, I hope, by summertime. And hopefully, we're going to get to move ahead with it. We've been, as a lot of people know, going back and forth for like 10 years trying to get this project done here so that we could have natural gas. And we've got high hopes on it. We're putting in for grants and everything to...
Well, we certainly wish you well. You know, certainly that having natural gas would change the landscape for being able to offer more commercial opportunities for people to come into town. Last year, you guys had a first-time event called the Stone Age Stampede Rodeo with a lot of other events. What was that event like last year?
It was very exciting. People really liked it. I mean, it drawed a big crowd. It was ran well, and I'm looking forward to working with the committee and everything this year to get things kicked off again,
right.
Whatever they come up with for
well,
the event.
What I see on my card here, the event this year is September 8th and 9th, so it'll be kind of just after the Labor Day weekend, and we're going to root for you and support you in any way we can to make that a positive event.
Good. Good.
Great. Well, I think that's what we have for today. I really appreciate you participating, and hopefully we can get you on the radio again, and we can tout all the opportunities coming up for Dinosaur, Colorado.
Right. Thank you very much. You have a good day.
Thank you. That was Mayor Richard Blakely from the wonderful town of Dinosaur, Colorado, on the very west edge of Moffat County. Now we'll be moving to Tony St. John, a Moffat County advocate that is a volunteer with the Moffat County Balloon Festival. We'll be back with Visit Moffat County in just a moment.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffat County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
Welcome spring. At Johnny B. Goode's Diner, we are open daily all spring. Stop by for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or dessert. Breakfast is served all day. Enjoy the best milkshake in the valley. And if you have a hankering, we can add a kick for an adult milkshake. JohnnyB.Goode'sDiner.com.
We're the Wild West, where brands are known, champions are grown, and a handshake still means something. So come join the brand, the Victory Motors brand. Family, pride, legacy. Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. Come join the winning brand at Victory Motors of Craig. Come see us on the southwest side of town or visit us online at victorymotorsofcraig.com.
Think MJK Ace Hardware and Craig only carries lumber, paint, and ranch supplies? Think again. They have a huge home decor department full of items you won't find anywhere else. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, you'll find the perfect gift. Diningware sets, wine glasses, kitchen gadgets, decorative vases, and small appliances. They have all that and more. You've got to stop by. MJK Ace Hardware, just off of First Street in Craig. Your lumber, paint, home decor, and everything more store.
Hey everyone, Tucker
and Kelly
with Way Out West Trading Company here again to let you know that rain or shine, we've got all the Western brands and accessories you're looking for. We've got Cinch, Stetson, Roper, Kimes Ranch, Top Hand, Macy Bean, Twisted X, Tin Hall, and so much more. So remember, if you're in the market for anything Western, we've got you covered.
Way Out West Trading Company, your source for Western apparel and accessories, located at 1695 West Victory Way in Craig, Colorado.
Hi, this is Becca Knowles with Yampa Valley Bank. In today's world, it is important to take a few extra steps to make sure you are protecting yourself and your information. Use unique and strong passwords for all of your logins and never share that information with anyone. Watch out for phishing attempts by fraudsters who try to gain access to your computer via a link in an email or by asking for sensitive information over the phone. Be fraud aware and be careful out there. This has been a fraud tip from Yampa Valley Bank. Locally owned, community invested, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Ugh, these aisles are tight.
Oops, sorry, pardon me.
This selection stinks.
Excuse me, you with the fruit cups, can you help me with a nice cab? I don't need a taxi, I'm talking about wine.
Don't count on the grocery stores to help you with your wine needs. Trust your friends at Central Park Liquor. With unmatched selection, prices, and knowledge, there is no need to go anywhere else. Central Park Liquor is your true convenient one-stop shop for everyday low prices on beer, wine, and your favorite spirits. Don't get caught up in the hype, stick with what you know. Central Park Liquor, locally owned and operated, and always giving back to the community.
Hi, my name is Brandon Kolb, current owner at New You Wellness, formerly Life Essentials Day Spa, still offering the old spa services as well as adding microcurrent, stem cells, ozone, Dr. Fegley, and some diagnostic skin.
I'm retired Coach Aragon, and I met Brandon at a birthday party. I had COVID, and I had the long haul, and nothing tastes the same, and foggy head. He said, come on by my office, I think I can help you. So I went in there, and he hooking up to my earlobes these electrodes, and I was wondering, wow, what is this. I'm at home in the morning and I always have a cup of coffee. You know, I'm looking out the window and everything was like so bright. I mean, I was like, wow, it was just clear headed and the coffee's making and I started to smell it and I tasted it instead of it tasting like metallic. It was like coffee. I couldn't believe it. So I got a piece of chocolate and I put it in my mouth and I was like, oh my gosh. So I called Brandon. I said, you're not going to believe this. Everything tastes great. Clear head. Wow. I just called to thank him.
Find out more about New You Wellness at New You. That's N-U-Y-U wellness.net. That's N-U-Y-U. IUWellness.net.
It's time now for Visit Moffat County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Now joining me is Tony St. John. Mr. St. John is Certainly a Moffat County advocate in every way, and Tony is associated with the Moffat County Balloon Festival that happens each August here. Tony, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Tony, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're such a strong Moffat County advocate?
That's because I love Craig, Colorado, but why? I've been here since 1981 with my family. I have enjoyed doing whatever we have had to be able to do to try to do things for the community. I worked for Colwell Coal for 20 years. I retired there and became a bus driver for the Moffat County School District, which I absolutely enjoy, and enjoy taking the kids back and forth to school. I have been an eight-year city council representative while I've been here. I also spent 4 years on the Moffat County School Board. I've tried to get myself involved in various things to try to help the community grow. And that's when I started with the Balloon Festival. Balloon Festival has been started with four balloons in 13 years ago.
13 years ago. This will be the 13th Balloon Festival coming up.
Yes, sir,
and
it will be.
That is fantastic. Well, certainly when you've come in to visit with me at my office at Moffat County Tourism, I caught that you're more than an advocate for just a festival or some narrow focus. You are a man that really it is an advocate for our community and is constantly on the thought of pursuing ways to make us better. So I personally appreciate your approach and you wanting us to bring us together. So we're here today to talk about the Balloon Festival. And the Balloon Festival was, in my opinion, last year was the most successful Balloon Festival ever. It really popped. Everything came together. Tell me about what happened last year.
Well, last year it was just we had more people that came out. I found as I was walking around visiting with people, we had more people from out of town that were coming in to see the Balloon Festival. We had a new addition to the Balloon Festival in a tethered balloon that we haven't had before. And we had a line that was the size of a football field that people wanted to go up about 100 feet and come back down. We also had more people at our cardboard boat regatta. We had seven Titanics that day.
Well, a Titanic. Exactly. What is a Titanic there, Tony?
Well, if you ever saw that movie, The Titanic, when it sunk, that's what these cardboard boats did. They all sunk. But it was really, everybody just loved the program. It was great.
Entertainment at its finest.
Yes, sir.
That's how that rolls. You know, when I was at the Denver Adventure Travel Show last month, and we were talking about the Balloon Fest quite a bit, and people would come back at us and say, have you called the White House or the Air Force to make sure that none of these things will be shot down? Have you done that, Tony?
No, but I'm sure our balloon meister, Barbie, has. She always takes care of us as far as taking care of those balloons, making sure that they arrive safely and everything is okay.
Okay, exactly where is the event held?
The event is held at Loudy Simpson Park. It's just south of the town. It's a nice little park. We last year we had 27 balloons that came out for the event. And year before COVID, we had a little over 30 balloons. Wow. But it was a great event. If you want to know, if we can tell you a little bit about the launch leaves early in the morning, 6:30. And the public is all welcome to come out. They get to meet the pilots, talk with them, and sometimes a pilot might need a help from somebody. And this, whoever it is, they can go out and help the pilots get their balloons ready to launch. And some of the balloon pilots even offer, would you like to have a ride?
Well, I think that sounds like a kind of an intimate experience. I've heard of other balloon festivals that are huge, and there's a lot of distance that is put between the balloon pilots and the public. And what happens at Loudy Simpson this August will be a more intimate experience where people can get right up and talk to the balloon guys and, and really be helpful and,
That's correct.
Really enjoy it. I really enjoyed the balloon glow last year. I mean, that was something else. Tell me about the music that we got going this year and how that might tie into the glow and other parts of the going on.
Well, what we can do is we can tell you we're always the first weekend of August. So this year it's going to be the 4th, 5th, and 6th of August. The pilots arrive usually on a Thursday night. We have the opportunity to meet them and just say hello. Friday morning, some of them will launch out at Loudy Simpson. That'd be 6:30 in the morning. And they launch, they take off, they come back. Friday evening, we have a greet and meet the pilots. And this is downtown on Yampa Avenue. And it's going to be this year, it's about 5:30. They're going to have a band out there, a concert. So everybody's welcome. Everybody, the city, whoever wants to come, they're welcome to come and attend the event. They will have music, and we are going to have it at the Yampa.
The downtown brewery.
Yeah, the downtown brewery. We're going to have
the brewery and the park, the Alice Pleasant Park.
Yeah.
Right next door. So this it'll be a great downtown venue, and I think you know a lot of people in the community really like how you've had the insight to tie the downtown community to the event as well as having it out at Loudon.
Yeah, and the Downtown Business Association will be putting on a dinner for the pilots also. So everybody's welcome to come out, have a good time. The brewery has all sorts of different kinds of drinks that the you know as far as beer is concerned, so you can try different ones. They also have root beer, so somebody doesn't
and
drink
kombucha and some other other drinks that'll be there. So it's great that comes downtown, and I think everybody was excited about it last year. And last year's success is just going to drive home more success and more enthusiasm about what's coming up this August.
Well, we start at 6:30 Friday Saturday morning. Again, we have a launch at 6:30. All of this depends on the weather. Got to say that, okay? Right. Because they have to have good weather. But with what goes on during that that morning is we have the church puts on a burrito breakfast, okay, and coffee. Come on down, and you can buy yourself a nice breakfast. You can just sit down if you want to, or you can go out again, as we were saying, and see the pilots, meet the pilots, and have a good time just watching them go up in the air. And during that day, we have so much going on. It goes from like 6:30 in the morning till 8:30, like you said.
And I think that's the important part about what the Balloon Festival sure is, that the star of the show is the balloons and enjoying those. But there's so much more going on. Tell us about some of the other things that are going on that day.
Well, not only, again, I mentioned the cardboard boat regatta. We have the bouncy stuff for all the kids, and we have a water display where they can get inside of a big, huge bubble and just ride on the on the water. We have a bingo in the afternoon that we give away over $1,000 worth of prizes. We also have, at the end of bingo, it's called the blackout. They have a chance to win a flat-screen TV that is given by Walmart for that. We have, plus the money that we're able to give away. We just have a whole lot of different things that are going on, a lot of stuff for the kids and the youngsters.
And I also understand Colorado Cruisers last year had over 100 cars out there.
That's right, and they're going to have probably a lot more. They started about 7:30 in the morning for sign-up, and then at about 8:30 or so, they just start putting them out on the show. There's beautiful cars that are out there. They have roadsters, and it's just great. You got to come out and see and just see what it's like.
Okay, but the other part of that's there is all the vendors. And last year, you tell me that there were 37 food and merchandise vendors out there. So that's a good showing. Tell me how the vendors did last year and what they thought of the festival.
Well, first of all, we had 32 retail vendors. We had 11 food vendors.
Oh, my goodness.
And right. And they pretty well all sold, the food vendors pretty well sold out of food. They were very excited. My wife, Maggie St. John, is already getting reservations for the booths. By the way, also, if anybody would be interested and putting a vendor's booth in, whichever, I'll give you the www.mcballoonfestival.com.
And they would go to that website and be able to sign up to be a vendor for 2023.
Not only can they do that, they will also see all the events that we're going to have. That's, they go through the whole day. It's a 12, 13, 14-hour day. You also mentioned about the evening and the glow. This year's we always have a tribute band that we have that comes, and the tribute band this year is going to be Journey. And last year we had Stevie Nicks, and she did a fantastic job. People just loved her. So
I can tell you, when I was at the balloon glow and all the balloons are going up in the evening and they're the stark contrast of those wonderful colors against the horizon, and the music just going, and you're right next to the river, and you know, you can't get better than that, Tony. It was a wonderful experience.
Well, we have 9 magnificent members that are on the committee that put this together for the community, and we always enjoy and love doing it. And if you missed it last year, come and you'll see something that will be fantastic again this year. We encourage you to come out, bring the kids. We have a lot of stuff for the children that they'll enjoy. Again, I believe that we're going to have that balloon that you can take a little ride, go up and down for a certain amount of money.
Well, you told me last year the tethered balloon was so popular that there was a line around the corner for it.
Yeah, it was about as long as a football field.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
well, I don't know, but you be sure and have your balloon meister get a hold of, you know, make sure the authorities that we get.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any big white balloons that are going to be up there causing trouble or anything. That'll be good.
I'd like to give you that website again, so if you're interested, and not only interested in an event, you can go to www.MCBalloonFestival.com, and that way you can see what's going on, the list of everything that's going to be happening that day. And we'd love to have you come out. We'd love to have you enjoy.
Tony, I really understand that an event like the Balloon Festival takes a lot of sponsorship. You know, the Whittle the Wood has a lot of strong backing from the City of Craig. But the Balloon Festival is really sponsored by a lot of companies right in Craig and in the area that do a lot to make the event simply happen. Tell me about some of your sponsors and maybe tell people how they can lean in and help sponsor this event.
Most of the businesses, that Downtown Business Association, if you go downtown, they help us in bringing these balloons and they contribute a sponsorship fee. Our large sponsors that we have are, for instance, Yampa Valley Electric, Tri-State, Bank of Colorado. We also have Yampa Valley Bank. We have just all the businesses. I there's so many to thank. I can't. I just want to thank them all.
They're really a great group of people. You will have people put up their banners on the stage, and when the music's going, the sponsors really get some recognition. And I know over time, I've watched how you've taken care of the sponsors, and I think in order to have success, you're going to need some more sponsorship this year. So I would say to the citizens of Craig, the people that own businesses, they might consider contacting you and leaning in and being part of this great event.
They can. They can also, again, go to www.mcballoonfestival.com and they can pick up a sponsorship packet right there. tells them different levels of sponsors that we have and the amount that they could pay. Or they can give a sponsorship fee to Friends of the Balloon Festival. And that will be whatever they want to do, whatever it might be, just Friends of the Balloon Festival.
We've got to go to the website and figure out what's there. Tony St. John has joined us today. He's the main volunteer with the Balloon Festival. He's got 9 cohorts that are working with him. I think it's an example of a community event that's stellar, and we're very proud as a community to have the Balloon Festival with us. 13th year, it'll be the lucky year, right? And we'll have a wonderful Balloon Festival. Also, just for the case for everybody, if you go to visitmoffettcounty.com, you can also connect with the Balloon Festival, and you can find all of the events that are happening in Moffett County through the rest of the year. So we have a lot of big events coming up. We have the Museum of Northwest Colorado adding an event. We have truck festivals downtown. Of course, the Great American Horse Drive is coming up in May. That'll be big for the town of Maybelle. There's a lot of opportunities, a lot of things that are happening in Moffett County for all of us. We know the opportunities are in front of us. We have a bright future. We just all have to get together and make that happen. And that happens with people like Tony that just puts his shoulder to the grindstone and helps events happen. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Once again, this is Tom Kleinschnitz with our show is now called Visit Moffett County. This is an opportunity for our community to project out to the rest of the county and the rest of Northwest Colorado what's happening and be up to date with all of us. My name is, again, Tom Kleinschnitz. I'm at the Moffett County Tourism Office over at the Yampa Building. I would really love to hear from each of you about what needs to be presented on this program, the people that would like to get their voice out, the various events that are happening, our political leaders, the people in charge of all of the events, and the people that are in charge of many of the organizations around town need a little bit of a boost and be able to have a great PSA that is presented by Blizzard Communications. This opportunity will come around each month. Again, Moffett County Tourism has got a list of all the various events that are happening this summer. We have the Whittle of the Wood that is also in Loudy Simpson Park. The Whittle of the Wood program is going to be a 4-day program this year. We'll attempt this next month to have Ryan Dennison with the Recreation Department, City of Craig, to come on and tell us about all the music that's going to be coming up, all the things that will happen in that 4-day event. It's going to be a free event for the first 3 days and a modest $10 for coming on the last concert day. And just to mention and go back to the Balloon Festival, the Balloon Festival is completely free for everyone to show up and enjoy that. Just come on down and enjoy the balloons, the pilots, and all of the events that are going on down there. Downtown, Craig, this year we're going to have the Homemade Homegrown event downtown Craig. The Ride and Tide Rodeo is at the Moffett County Fairgrounds over the July 4th weekend. I always enjoy going up to Browns Park at the Browns Park Wild Bunch Day. That'll be at the old Browns Park School this August 19th. The Fall Fest is downtown Craig in September. It'll be September 16th this year. So just prior to that, of course, we talked to Richard Mayor Blakely out in Dinosaur. Just prior to that, we're going to have the Dinosaur Stone Age Stampede out at September 8th and 9th. And so just a lot of great things happening. Our community is engaged. It takes a lot of volunteers to make all of these events come together. And I'm really proud of all the people that do these events and strike the balance that we need to have people come and find our town. One of the things that happens in tourism is that you need to have people come and visit and have a good experience so they can come back again. And many of those people we invite may have economic opportunities. They may have companies or other things that they could bring to our community that would be jobs, employment, transportation systems, things that will make our community whole. And I think we need to take seize the opportunities with all the events we're having, inviting people to town. We need to get visitor ready, and with the help of all the volunteers that do all of these events, we're going to be doing exactly that. There's a lot of important business to be done through town. I appreciate each and every one of you. Again, you can contact me at the Yampa Building at Moffat County Tourism, 970-824-2335. When you get a hold of me, you can tout your projects, your events, and maybe weigh in on what's going on that will help us promote Moffat County.
Thanks for listening to Visit Moffat County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.